come here. Get off.
So, hey y'all, welcome to this week's episode of The Turn On. It has been a while, Killa.
Yeah. I mean, y'all don't know this unless you listen really, really closely, but we haven't actually recorded an episode since March?
Yeah, March, April. Right? It's been a minute.
Yeah,
of 2022. And now it's August of 2022. Yeah. So it has been a long time coming. I had to like dig hard in my box of stuff to find my mic all of that. So
but scattered around because this little person is using it as their own personal ASMR situation.
Which you mentioned that. For?
Yes.
She's such a Gemini with all her fairies. Projects and ideas. Yeah. So
just really into ASMR.
Okay, so y'all, it's been a while. So here we are. I would say back for season six. I would say
it would be season six.
Yeah. But we're talking like this because we have I don't want to say it was a difficult decision. It's a difficult announcement to make.
Yes.
But we have decided that this will be our last episode of The Turn On. Oh my God, even saying that out loud. Like,
I know.
It's weird. Brought feels to me.
Yeah. It feels very real in this moment as we record this and like say it.
Yeah. So, you know, we took a step back in early at the beginning of the year, like January, February. And actually, I remember we were talking recently about something else. And we were talking to a group of girlfriends. And I don't know who asked it. Maybe it was me. It was like, how are you feeling? Like, we know you're, you know, dealing with your health issues. But like, it's a lot. And it's a lot mentally. And so I was like, you know, and so you're updating us on all the therapies and things you're doing. But I was like, but how are you feeling? Like, where's your head at? And you were like, I'm good now. Things are getting better. But I was really low in January, February, which is when we decided to take a break. And not really a break, but we were just, at that point, Karen was like, I can't do this anymore. At the pace that we were doing it. Because it takes a lot to, you know, to go into an episode. And we were, like, when I say a two-man operation, like, legitimately a two and a half. And a half is, shout out to our editor, engineer. Brandon, that puts all the...
Hey, Brandon.
Does all the sound stuff. But it was a lot. So we made a decision to... And just interrupt me because I'm just keep talking. We made a decision at the time that we were going to take a break. And at the time, the break looked like we would finish out the season.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At the time, we were like, we'll finish out the season and just figure out what's next.
Yeah. And that was when we switched to like episodes every other week, which I'm sure, you know.
Initially, we were just like, you were just like, I can't do this shit. And so then I was like, hey, how about we do an episode a week based on our schedule and running some quickies that'll get us through September. And then we'll get together at the beginning of August to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. Where we are and what's next. And we had a whole plan for next season and all of that.
We did, yeah.
And it just, you know, they say absence make the heart grow fonder. Definitely wasn't that.
Well, I remember, you know, that was kind of the idea, right? It was like, okay, we'll step back. We'll like basically do everything that we need to do for the rest of the season now. And so that things would feel a little bit more automated. It did mean that some things kind of like social media posting, like some of that stuff, you know, fell by the wayside because it was just like, okay, that stuff has to happen in the moment all the time. And no. But it was like, all right, so we'll take this break and either we'll be like, oh my God, I'm so excited and have so many ideas and I'm ready to get started. Or it'll be like, oh, it's been nice not having all these things on the plate. And yeah, even before we had our like official schedule call to talk about it, when we were talking about something else, and you were like, I feel like we on the same page. And I was like, yeah.
And I truly thought that we were just going to take a beat and then come back and be excited about it. Mm-hmm. And it just, I feel like it was a very specific point in our lives.
I wasn't sure how it was going to shake out. I really felt like it could go either way. But I do want to say, like, for me, the decision is not, it's not based on my health. Like, it's not
no, even because not at
it
all.
Feels like, yeah, oh, it's not even well, because it feels like me, too much. Yeah. It's because I really try to walk in the things that I talk about, right? And I talk so much about, like, what makes you joyful? Like, what do you look forward to doing every day? And what I started to realize is that I used to look forward to Tuesdays. Tuesdays were the day when I, like, said, fuck everything else. I didn't do anything for any of my clients. I just worked on show stuff. And I was always really, like, energized by that. And it started to flip for me, where it started to feel like work as opposed to fun. And when I get to the point in anything where the joy to burden balance feels off, then that's like when I have to do an evaluation of, okay, what am I doing? And I will say, insofar as being ill has made, because it has decreased the number of like literal hours that I have in a day to function, it did really force me. But I also do this quarterly. You know, I have like that whole joy spreadsheet, and I go through it and I list everything that I do and I rank it. And then if stuff starts to fall to the bottom of the ranking, what do? I stop doing it. But I think that being ill made me be even more focused on my worksheet, my spreadsheet, and making sure that I wasn't putting energy into stuff that felt that way. And unfortunately, as much as I very much love this show and very much love you and very much love Black Romance and all the wonderful people that we've gotten to bring on the show and all the work that we've gotten to share with folks, the balance just started to tip for me.
Yeah. Similar. I just, you know, it started feeling like a slog, and I have been saying a lot lately that I follow the joy. I'm not as much of a spreadsheet gal when it comes to that.
It's my Virgo moon. I've come to understand.
It totally is. Totally is. Yeah, I haven't been quite spreadsheety about it, but I have been very clear about the fact that, like, I am in a really good place to be able to say, I want to do this because this feels good. Like, down to like jobs I pick, which, let's take a step back. That is fucking profound. Like, yeah, my granny was a goddamn domestic, and she used to clean white people's houses. Mm-hmm. My mama hated her fucking job, but would fucking cry, probably lose her shit if she lost it. Mm-hmm. And I get to sit back on my Black ass and be like, I don't want to do that. So yeah. Like, and so for me, like, just in honor of all of that, like, I'm not going to do anything that feels like a slog. And I'll be very honest. Like, I have, you know, like, we're all aware of what's going on in the general Black podcasting space and the various podcasters and relationships that are, you know, that have publicly, or I hear in the background, are falling apart.
Oh, no. Who you know about in the background?
We'll talk offline.
Okay. Damn it.
But like, yeah. And yeah. And like, I don't want that to happen. Like, and particularly as you were dealing with all the health things that you're dealing with, like, I want to make sure that our relationship is strong and stable and all of that. So if that meant like,
ain't nobody trying to be, actually, I don't want to say names.
Yeah. But like, no, but if that meant that, bitch, like, I'll see you every 6 months. And like, I want our relationship to be strong and solid and healthy. and I don't want work to get, I don't want anything to get in that. And when things, when this starts feeling like a slog, it's going to automatically be like, right, you know, it's just going to fuck up our relationship. I don't want it to be a slog
for us to get on a fucking, on video and talk. Right.
And cone, right?
Right.
So, like,
the whole point is that that shit is fun as hell.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I, like, for me, it was really, it stopped feeling as fun as it was. It started feeling like, oh my God, I have to do this, as opposed to, oh my God, I get to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't want to fuck up our relationship because we're forcing something that we're no, our heads are no longer into, you know? So, yeah. So that's where we are.
That's where we are. I was listening to the read, Now That They're Back, Thank God. I'm so glad you told me when I had to go.
I pick swore up some you knew. Groceries. I'm so sorry.
I did not know. And it came out on Friday. I'm like, I'm days late.
Here's the thing.
What?
Camria and I now, like, a huge part of our conversations and all of that take place in the form of memes, TikToks, and yes. Twitter DMs. And so, like, yeah, and occasionally I see things. I'm like, oh, she's seen this a million times. Let me, like, not bother her with this. And so I didn't
know.
One time. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. I had to go pick up some groceries. Shout out to Target Drive Up. It's everything for me, since I can't go in grocery stores without falling out. And so I was listening to it, and I really didn't. I had just come from PT, and all I wanted to do was lay down. But I was like, if I don't go pick up these groceries, then I'm not going to be able to sleep well, because then I'm going to be thinking about, I got to go to fucking Target and get these groceries. But it was worth it, because I started listening to the episode. But at the beginning, this is the point of me saying this, is that when they started, Kid Free was like, I mean, friend, how are you? Like, let's go back to the days when we used to actually talk. And not just have to jump into the show, you know? And I was just like, yeah, like, once it is just all businessy, all of that stuff gets missed. So,
and we were definitely trying to be conscious of that. I think we lost that towards the end, but definitely
because trying to, trying to fucking crank these out so we could take a break.
Yeah,
and I don't want to feel that way.
Yeah, and it was because I remember, like, at periods being like, okay, I'm gonna call you and we not talk. Like, even if I had a million to do, I'm like, we're not talking about the show. We're just gonna have to,
exactly,
catch up. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this was joyful. This was joyful while it lasted. I mean, even being here, like, I was in bed the other day, because, like, legit, when I am in bed watching TikToks, laughing and sending them to you, like, nigga, you were, like, right next to me laughing. Like, I'm like, I hear your like, it's the craziest shit. And so I was like, damn, I need to call Kerry and we need to just, like, look, act a fool on the phone. And I was like, wait, you get to do that on Thursday. Yes. Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
Yeah. But then we also got to sit on the porch for an hour yesterday, which is nice.
Which was nice. It was good.
I ain't do a lick of fucking work.
Not a lick, but it was time well spent. So, side note, love that lipstick. That's a great
comment. Bought me this lipstick.
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
It's one of the little ones y'all got me in my fanny pack last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things we were doing in the pandemic pit is we were celebrating each other's birthdays outside. And around the fire pit, I have a fire pit and we have a really nice porch. And so we would do, like, outside fire birthday celebrations. Mm-hmm. And I want to say 2021 birthdays, we were doing, like, little themed gift bags.
Yeah.
We were doing, like, themed gift bags. And Camry's theme that year were fanny packs and lipsticks.
And black people.
Yeah.
And black people, right? Because everybody had to wear black because niggas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we ate. Well, y'all had chicken, right?
We had hip hop. Was it hip hop?
We had hip hop. Yeah.
And then this year, I was very proud of this year's birthday. Yeah, we were, like, really trying to do something really cool. And so we did a Steven Universe party, but it wasn't just a regular Steven Universe party. Like,
it was cosplay, y'all.
Bitch, we cosplayed. Like, I had on a wig. I had, like, we were, like, in outfits. It was some legit, like, for real.
She was Pearl, for those who watched the show. It's very
I didn't know who Pearl was. But, yeah, we were definitely, like, yeah.
And so, it was Curious Universe, and they got me a little curly wig. My hair was in braids at the
time. So it was, like, braids out the back. But, you know.
Yes. Everybody had, like, that was really nice. Once I, at the moment that I realized what the fuck was happening, I was just like, oh my God, these bitches are really dressed like Steven Universe characters.
Mind you, none of us know what the fuck's happening except for Kimria.
Like, y'all did not. So then I was like explaining the show. Cass is like, oh, I should watch that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should.
Yeah, like, legit, like, we were just like, okay, research a character.
We know you love this thing.
Research a character. We gonna do this shit. So, I mean, you know. But anything for our killer. So, yeah. But, okay. So, how about I ask you a question? You probably got some profound questions. But, so what, when you are, you know, 50 years old. I'm saying this like we're 20 and we're looking back 30 years. We're literally looking back like 9 years. Yeah. So, When you're 100 years old and you look back on the period in your life that you produced The Turn on, what will you say about it and what stood out? Like, what was special about it?
I guess, you know, I always have like random ideas, right? There's something really satisfying about having a random fucking idea, in this case while masturbating, and then turning it into like a whole thing. Like, I'm really proud of that. Mm-hmm. Like, we were like, we gonna start a podcast. What's it gonna be about? Well, I had this random ass idea. Bet. And then we just like did it. That's really, and I'm always amazed when things like that, like when I finish writing a book and it's here, it always feels a little bit like magic. Even though I know the immense amount of work that goes into it, there's still something about going from a random ass idea to a tangible thing that other people get to enjoy. Like, I never really thought about it this way, but my partner is in wonder of those kind of things, because he's like, yo, this is like a legacy. I never, I hadn't really thought about it that way. He's like, these are the things that you will leave behind that will outlast you, that somebody at some point can listen to a show, can look at a YouTube video, can pick up a book that you wrote well after you've left this earth, and you contributed. Like, that is really fucking cool to me. What about you?
So one thing that stands out is when we were trying for that Google Podcast thing and we recorded upstairs in your kitchen.
Under the table?
Under a sheet. Under a table that was like,
with a blanket wrapped around it. Yeah.
Bitch, we was in that bitch sweating.
Sweating! Oh my God.
So that was cool. Because I think it was just kind of the first, like, step, and it showed like how dedicated we were to just making this thing happen.
We didn't know shit. Nothing.
We didn't know shit. Yeah. And also, like, remember initially we were really on some like over engineering this shit.
Yeah.
Like, we definitely was like making it too difficult.
Too hard.
I kind of feel like, I kind of feel you on your partner's thing saying when with the legacy. Like, for me, it's just I got to do a really cool thing with my best friend. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was fun. And we, you know, like, fun. Bitch, Oprah herself called us and said, hey, you're an amazing podcast.
I mean, that is kind of true, y'all. We did get featured on Oprah Daily.
Yeah. But so it just the fact that we were able to do this really dope and amazing thing that also, like, chronicled, like, we launched this in July of 2019. So, like, We went through the pandemic through this.
Yeah. And we, well, because we, yeah, it was 2019, because we started in November of 2018 figuring it out, right?
Yeah, but our first episode launched in July of 2019.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of shit happened. Not even just like worldwide, but like personally.
Yeah, like we launched the day before my granny's funeral, right?
Yeah.
Like, we chronicled you falling in love.
Yeah.
We chronicled me fighting cancer. We chronicled you dealing with ME. Like, it has been just, and it's been amazing in that sense to like have that diary.
Yeah.
I mean, because I journal, but like, okay, so when I die, I need to actually set you up on my Facebook. When I die, I have like a bunch of like journals. So y'all gonna have to like, y'all gonna have to pay an intern to like piece everything together because everything is just all over the place. But this period has been cataloged so well. And it's just, you know, what'd you say?
I don't journal shit.
You like
it feels that. Like work. All right, I remember a therapist used to try to make me journal, and every week I'd be like, no, I didn't do that. She was like, you know what, this feels like work to you, doesn't it? I was like, that's exactly it. So we dropped journaling. But I'm really glad it works as a tool for you. I think it's so useful for so many people.
I mean, I journal, I write, like a lot of times it's not even being able to like go back and reference, it's just to get it out. So like my notes app, I have conversations with myself. Mm. Like I have a bunch of different journals. So, yeah, it's really cool to have this period of my life recorded. I feel like when they're going back and doing the World War Z, history of life in the pandemic, they can reference this show and, you know.
And I wish sex was life for Black folks.
Yeah. So this has been really dope. Also, without this show, I wouldn't be here doing the shit I'm doing with like a pussy in the background. Mm-hmm. If y'all on YouTube, that thing right there. Ooh, my nails match it perfectly. A pussy puppet. Because like this show made me realize that I want to become a sex educator and do sex education. And so it's very clear that y'all gonna keep hearing me talking about the, not only the joys of sex, but because one of the things that I'm working on right now is figuring out what the larger thing looks like for me. Mm-hmm. And this show has not only put like a box or, you know, like put it on paper, my desire to be a sex educator, but also helped me connect that it's just so much bigger than sex. It's more it's about like liberating Black women and Black bodies and joy and all of that. And sex is a piece of it. And sex is an easy way to like show it, demonstrate it, use it as an example, but it's bigger than that. And so this show allowed me to do that. And so, yeah, it's always like, it's super special.
I am going to ask before we go, like, what are you working on and what's next? But before that, which that ties into what you just said, what did you learn about yourself while working on the show?
Ooh, I learned vulnerability. And it was something that I knew I needed to work on. Actually, I just did an Enneagram thing. I think I told you about this.
Mm-mm.
I did Enneagram.
Did you find one for free? Because it's just expensive.
Actually, I have a girlfriend that's going to do a happy hour with us on our Enneagram types. We'll talk about it offline. But I've like, she taught it and I was just like, bitch, you come to talk to me and my girlfriends. And she's like, I'd love to. But anyway. And so I'm an Enneagram 8. And 8s are a lot, right? Like 8s are a motherfucker. Like
so 8s are Geminis?
Huh?
So 8s are Geminis.
Right. And so I found this podcast and this guy was talking about the AIDS. And one of the things that he said was that AIDS struggle with being vulnerable, and they want to, like, the balm for their soul is, it is okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay, you know? And I knew that I needed to work on my vulnerability. And one of my superpowers as an eight is being vulnerable at the same time. Yeah, being vulnerable in spite of this big personality and this big person that I am helps me be a better leader, because people are able to look at me and be like, wow, this bitch is like a lot. But at the same time, she can be vulnerable. So I kind of always knew that. But this show was really that in action. Because I got on here talk. I mean, like, we have conversations, but there were points where, like, I had to, like, figure shit out, like, live in front of y'all, and you know, and like reveal things about myself and talk about myself. And so it's actually interesting. I was talking to someone, having a hot flash, talking to someone recently, and he asked me about something, and I was like, you know, I'll be honest, I'm jealous. And I was like, but you know, I recognize that I'm jealous. I'm digging into why I'm jealous. I'm not over here like a hating ass bitch, you know, and it, you know, and so it's, so I'm digging into it. And he was like, damn, like I, like that's mad self-aware. And I would have never thought anyone to admit they're jealous, let alone you. And I'm like, bruh, like this makes the learning curve so much faster, so much shorter, and like the fall so much softer. So I think I'm able to practice vulnerability a lot more and see the value in that with people. Word. What about you?
So I'm with you on the vulnerability thing. I think this allowed me to practice it in a really real way. You know, it's not a thing that comes naturally to me at all. But a lot of my therapy focused on being able to do it. Like, remember when I would have to like tell you really awful stories of things that had happened to me, and how I would sit there with a stone face and your ass would be crying. And that's just me.
Like, but it happened. You're like, okay.
Yeah. But I think I, for so many years, lived my life in such a way that I was trying to not be judged. Like, I worried so much, my younger self, about what other people thought about me. So much. And like, to the point where I wouldn't do certain things because I was worried about judgment. And a lot of my issues with vulnerability stem from me not wanting people to be able to see the underbelly, the really tough, traumatic parts of my life. People who I was closest to who knew nothing about the way I grew up, who knew nothing about, you know, the impact of the relationships that I've been in. And I was just talking about this with somebody. Like, I remember our therapist telling me at some point, this was like when I had gone through my work and I was like starting to date again. And she was like, I was talking about like, how do I hold myself accountable? And she's like, well, part of it is letting your people hold you accountable. Like, at the point that you feel like you have to hide things, then you know that there's something going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, your gut is telling you that some shit is fucked up. And if you're trying to hide it, you're not telling the people who you trust, then you're reverting back to your behavior of hiding things because you're worried about being judged, as opposed to letting the people who care about you in so that they can help you. Mm-hmm. And that really resonated with me and really sat with me. And again, I just told somebody that yesterday because they was had. And I think that this show let me, I couldn't hide. Not and do it well.
Mm-mm.
You know, like people can smell bullshit. If you're given a piece of the story, nobody can really connect with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it forced me to practice that very much so in the same vein as you. And I think the other thing it made me realize, I'm not as straight as I thought I was. Like, I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that if someone had asked me, like, where I was on the Kinsey scale, and I don't even know where the numbers go. I'm sure you know better than I do. But I would have said I was on the, all the way on the straight end of things. Okay, not all the way on the straight end.
I literally have Kinsey's books behind me and no idea. Sexual behavior
in the human male and no idea what the fuck the scale is.
Right. So, I watched a whole show about it. I don't remember. But I think I thought that I was straighter on the scale than I actually am. And I think doing this show, and it's actually one of the things that I hope is part of our legacy, is that like people were able to open their minds more to like what it is that they want and need and who they're attracted to. And
something else that I learned about this show is, well, this show taught me is like, don't be afraid to pop your shit. Like, we celebrate ourselves. We celebrate one another. Like, we're able to, and maybe this is also because like this show was during the pandemic, you know, like the bulk of, you know, like a good chunk of it. And, like it made me be able to like revel in like just the simple shit, like a beautiful day with no humidity, you know, just stupid, simple shit. It allowed me to celebrate myself, the people around me, the things in this world. So yeah, I was actually before this, I was on a work call and I was talking to this woman. I'm like, your organization has an amazing culture of celebrating one another. Mm. Like, there is an entire Slack channel that's like team shout outs. And it's just, you know, shout out to so-and-so for running a great group. And it's just like, it's
that's
beautiful
how my
to
job
see
is
that.
Too. It's so nice. I never worked at a place where, oh yeah, y'all got a job. That happened.
And you love it.
I do, which I can't say that I've ever actually said before, at least not for long. I was a consultant. And as always happens when you, and you know this too, when you do a great job as a consultant, they start wanting you to come on board. But for once, I actually was like, okay, I like y'all. So it's nice. They have a huge culture of celebration, and like we do shout outs, and I've been shout out a lot, and it feels good. I'm like, oh, that's nice.
And we have like so this particular organization, it's a very small team, and I'm like the old lady, come sit at my knee, little folks. But it's great to see that, and I think it makes everyone very, you know, supportive and willing to like jump out there and try some risky shit, you know, because it's like, okay, I built up enough chips on good shit. If this fails, y'all know I'm not horrible.
Right.
But all in all, this has been like a wild ride, but fucking amazing. Like, I love this. I love it. I love that we are making a decision, a solid, firm, like, boop, this is what's happening. As always, I love you. I love that we were able to do this together. And yeah. So what's next for you, Killa? I beat you to it.
You did. Although I thought we were supposed to talk about our favorite moments of the show before we...
Ooh, I did not prepare. I did not prepare, but we can.
I just did right before because I was telling somebody about the show. And I was like, yeah, I'm recording the last episode of my show. And she was like, who are you? I was like, oh, yeah. Everybody at my job knows about the show. And I'm always like, have y'all listened? Because y'all be talking about this shit all the time and telling folks, maybe you want to listen before you tell them.
I say that all the time. Like, I'd be like, we're a lot. You think I'm a lot now in this meeting? Wait till I'm talking about popping that pussy.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm always this person, but the language changes a little bit.
Mine doesn't. I mean, I say I don't say pussy in meetings.
Only in that I don't say nigga at work. I mean,
yeah. I don't say nigga and pussy in meetings. Other than that, you're getting all of this.
The same person.
Yeah.
This is true.
So, yeah. What's your favorite? What are your favorite moments? Moments.
So I
definitely went back to the Forever Agenda and do not remember saying that. So we probably talked about it, but just didn't record it.
It's there. I even made it. I made it bold to remind us when I went back.
And I did not.
Sure, I did it.
Keep going, and I'll think.
Okay. No, I actually because I was showing somebody about the show, and I was like, "What platform are you on?" And they told me, and I was like, "Oh, bet." And then I just started scrolling through, like, "What do I like?" So this is in no particular order. It's literally just the random shit that I screenshot as I was scrolling through this app. The Casting Couch double dipping, well, the Casting Couch episode, which we just did again as a double dipping, really and truly is one of my favorites. It is us. At our
peak,
at our coon peak,
cooniness,
finest. It's ridiculous, bro.
Fresh from the tap.
Yeah. Like, my God. I don't know what the fuck. We were not drunk. We were not high. We were just, what Beyonce say? I don't need drugs for some free shit. Like, we were just on one that day, and it was beautiful. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the conversation we had with Benji Hart.
We got to meet some really, really dope people first. Shout out to Cousins of the Show. Y'all know who you are.
I'm getting to them.
I actually feel like we might have to call a few cousins and like have a conversation ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm already planning to talk to one of them. Yep. Because we were just saying we need to catch up anyway. So I'm going to go on and break it to them before they hear this episode. But that conversation was great. But also, like, y'all don't obviously get to see all the stuff that we, like, every time we have to pause it. Because in that conversation, my food was here. So then we had to, pause.
I remember recording it in bed.
15 minutes. I mean, I always record in bed, but yeah,
we lost audio, or was this the audio wasn't synced?
No, not with Benji. I don't think so. But I remember that I had to go get my food, and that was like a whole ordeal. And so y'all was just chopping it up. Like, we just had fun.
And the way his brain works, brain works, I apologize. The way their brain works is just, that was one of those episodes where it was like, God damn, you're smart as fuck.
Yes. I learned so much. Yeah.
Smart, but
down to earth, the homie. Yes. It was just a great situation. Both times that we had Jody on, I feel like the episodes where I can remember everything about the recording and all the shit that y'all didn't get to hear.
Because the first Jody one, I was like, we supposed to meet now? I'm in the car. I was... My GPS has me there 2 minutes before the 30. Yeah.
Listen, but we had that gave us time to coon before we even started. Mm-hmm. Both times that Jody was on, stand out. Both times that Cherie was on, stand out.
Cousin.
Yeah. Jody, listen, y'all don't, now we can say who the cousins are. It's Jody and Cherie.
Yep, cousins.
Hey, y'all.
Benji also, I don't know if they know that.
But I consider Benji a cousin. Also,
and Benji, you owe me macaroni and cheese. We had a conversation. Sure do. You promised that.
I am just guessing that they haven't been here.
We've gotten to, we got to meet folks to hang in out person.
Folks. Yeah. Have meals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been a blessing. And I don't know. I feel like my favorite episodes are the ones where we talk about books where it's just me and you, but also the experiences of the interviews also really rank high for me just because we've gotten to meet some really, really, really dope folks. What else do I have here? Oh, Adrienne Marie Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. Having her on was amazing and something that we had literally been trying to make happen for more than a year.
Yeah. So. Actually, when you think about it, everyone that was on our we have to talk to this person list, we were able to talk to. Mm-hmm. I'm looking through right now, there was somebody that I just looked over that I was like, oh, they were fun.
I got to see you.
Mahogany Brown.
Oh, so, yeah, Mahogany is fun. I had to do that one in the fucking hallway on the floor.
Mahogany Brown was like, so y'all know, Carrie is the brains, I'm the nig of the operation, right? And so I'm like, let's talk sex. Who fucking, where is it going? And Carrie's like, let's find, like, let's think. And so we had Mo Brown on when we talked, when we did the works of Pat Parker. And Mo Brown is like a beautiful writer and just person. Like, just I gained an appreciation for the way people think. And I became a sapiosexual. No. But yeah, I'm able to like look at people and hear their words and the way they think. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, if I could wrap myself in the words you write, mm-hmm. it would just be, am I fucking saying it? It came out of my
mouth. Look at you, bitch.
Sorry. Keep going.
Tia, I loved having Tia on. That was lovely. The conversation was great. Her book was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The episode we did with Boonie.
Yes.
That was, my God.
She's fine. Yeah. She's fine. Okay. Any episode we do with Quinn is just.
Yeah. Special.
Yeah. Very special. I appreciate y'all for, thank you to our listeners for listening to me sing.
A lot.
Because guess what?
Here we go.
Close your eyes, make a wish, and turn out the candlelight. Mm-hmm. Wait. No. Although we come to the end of the road. Yeah, I think those are two different songs, but that's what I was thinking. Today I was like, I'm gonna sing End of the Road. Didn't
I was definitely
happen.
Thinking, is that gonna be the I was literally thinking, oh, that's probably gonna be the name of this episode. But then I was like, is there a Beyonce song that we can make? Because have we ever used a Beyonce song as a title?
Yeah, Partition.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay,
I actually think I'm gonna, what song is that, Close Your Eyes Make a Wish?
I'm singing in my head.
I'll make love to you.
Okay. I'm like going through the whole fucking first.
Yeah. So definitely the wrong song, but yes. You know.
It's okay.
It's all good. Yeah. We also had we got to interview like some of our friends. And, yes. Like, see them in different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you have a homie, and you talk to him a million times. But to, like, ask them, like, specific, poignant questions about, like, your sex life, who yeah. you fucking, how you fucking, and not over, like, some drinks and recap at brunch. That yeah. was dope.
And also having them in, like, on as, like, professional people and, like, talking about the shit that they do. It's like, oh, yeah. You are impressive.
You do know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Shout out to Tristan Cotton.
Yes.
We got to meet him in person.
That was such a fun day.
Yeah. Oh, Tristan, my dog passed away.
Oh, yeah.
He loved my dog.
He did. He loved him.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, but you're my dog.
Yeah. But he was definitely trying to take him home.
Yeah, this was an amazing, I feel like I've learned, this was dope.
Yeah, it's been dope. We learned a lot. We got to meet a lot of people. You know what else that I learned on this show? Like, and I was talking about this when we were doing a double dipping on the Leonie episode, like how far we've come in terms of language, like, you know, like
yeah.
being inclusive and always using the equity lens and making sure we're inviting folks into the conversation. Like, that's something that I have obviously been writing about and has been important in my writing, but there's, I don't know, there's something different about speaking it and also about like living it in action and the folks that you bring on a show and the works that you cover. And like, we were very intentional about making sure that it wasn't just a bunch of straight
shit. We was like, this season too straight.
Right. Literally, we would have that. Yeah. We were like, this shit real straight. We need to bring some more. And we would move stuff to another season in order to make sure that there was representation. Like, and that has been super important to us. And then along with that, that means we've had a hella queer folks like on the show as interview, like, you know, guests or whatever. And that's been really important to us to be super intentional about. Everybody ain't the same. Like,
yeah.
And we all Black. So how do we make sure that we all are under this umbrella? So mm-hmm. yeah, that's been really important and feels like a really important part of the legacy of this show.
The legacy of the Turn On.
Yeah. Oh, now this is feeling self-important.
Yeah. And this is what we did.
Right.
We're getting little.
We had fun. Hopefully y'all have fun too.
Yeah. Hopefully y'all have fun. And this will not be the last of us. Like, we both have projects, things happening. We will continue to stay active on our social media accounts. Probably more active than we have been, to be quite honest.
That'll be the only thing to do instead of.
Yeah. Like, well, okay. Let me talk about it. Let me tweet about it.
So none of that's going away. Y'all can continue to follow us, and we'll also use the channels to lift up the other things that we're doing, because we're not disappearing. What are you doing? What you working on? Ha.
Ooh, girl. I don't know. So work is amazing, right? Like, in the good words of our good girlfriend, Glorilla, anyway, life's perfect, pussy's good. I don't know if that's exactly how she said it, but, you know.
Like, I don't even know, so.
See, I keep you on top with pop culture, and we've had a whole summer. Anyway. But
the only thing I am listening to or hearing about is Renaissance. I really don't.
I know. But before Renaissance came out.
Because I need to listen to Meg's album, but I.
I know. I need to. I've listened to it. I
listen to other shit, and I can't. And I.
Meg got this line in her song, Not Nice. And it was like, I'm ignoring you like your daddy did.
God, nigga. I feel bad. My daddy didn't. I was like, ooh, me.
Spicy. God damn. Okay. So what's next for me? So I am at this weird place, not weird, but I'm at this point where I am trying to figure out what my sex education empire looks like. I spent a really long time listening to my brother start the motherfucking microwave.
You can barely hear it.
Okay, so we'll just keep going. So y'all know I quit my job last year, and I have been in the throes of building my own consulting business, which has been great. But now that I have that piece established and going, and I've got clients, every time I pay my rent, I'm like, bitch, you paid your rent this month. It's just amazing to me. But now I need to figure out what it looks like, what sex my work as a sex educator looks like. And I'm wondering, is that like podcasting, radio, YouTubing, conferences, stuff in person? Like, there's just so much to do, and I have a million ideas floating around. I have someone that's a brand strategist that I will probably be working with. It is a huge investment, but she's good at what she does. I mean, just, you know, but anyway, so I have to figure that out. But in the interim, I've taken the stance of, I am simply just chasing joy. If it feels good, I am doing it. If it feels good, I am doing it. That's what I do. And I feel like in that process, as I flit around from flower to flower, getting nectar, putting some pollen on my ass, I'm a bee.
You got it.
It will make itself apparent, right? And like, I'm not so, like, because I have the work shit taken care of. I'm not super pressed about what's next or what things look like. Like I get pressed when I see other people doing shit. And I'm like, oh, I could have totally been doing this shit when those jealousy pangs hit. But at the same time, like, I am just really enjoying the fact that I'm in a place where I'm happy, you know, I'm happy, things are good. And so, yeah, like hitting some conferences, I have some work with Planned Parenthood, you know, I'll probably do some IG lives. Like, there's nothing like completely super structured, but I promise I'll definitely be out here spreading the gospel of good pussy and joy. But past that, not quite sure. And not saying for the first time in my life, because I've actually been here a lot more, even as I talk about, I've been here in a place like this a lot more, and I'm comfortable in not knowing. Like, I'm comfortable in like, we'll see. It'll pan out. And so, yeah, I'll keep y'all posted. Right. What were you gonna say?
I said it always does.
Yep. So what about you?
What am I doing? I am very slowly writing my book about Black women and non-binary folks, for folks who are of marginalized gender, and the ways that misogynoir got us fucked up, like the ways that it threatens our health and the ways that we save ourselves since nobody else is interested. Oh, I have been promoting that book.
Okay. I don't want to interrupt you, but I keep this next to my desk, and every time I have a meeting, I'm like, hey guys, this is a really amazing book.
Thank you. So I, last year, worked on this book with W. Kamau Bell and Kate Schatz. It was one of these situations, and I was thinking about this when you're talking about your brand presence. Like, I got that gig because they were looking for somebody who knows anti-racism and is a Black woman and brings that lens to the work, and they found me on a site, and then they went to my site and were impressed, and they reached out, and then I was working with them. And, you know, that book is a New York Times bestseller. I was the editorial consultant on that book. They will tell anybody that it wouldn't have happened the way that it happened if it weren't for me, which is pretty cool. And so I did one event with them. And I'm not doing any more events until my book comes out. But it was really nice, and they were great to work with. It was a good experience. But I can't do shit else until I finish my own book. I'm not editing anyone else's books. I am just very, very slowly writing my own. I am still working with consulting clients on things that are not as involved as editing books. So, like, sensitivity reads and that kind of shit, because that's easy and quick. And I, my day job, I actually really love the work that I'm doing. I'm looking at the places where the harms of artificial intelligence, AI, intersect with the rest of our lives. So yes, it makes people's eyes go big, but it's not that complicated. Like,
I have a client that was working with someone, so they probably have some overlap. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, AI impacts us in so many ways that we may not even be, you know,
that know about. Fucking coon ass.
That rapper. Exactly. Or like, I just sent my team an article about this fucking app that some white people created that makes customer service people's voices sound whiter. God. So we do, my team does research for a very, very large global organization that looks at, and the work that I am leading is around movement building and around how we can how we can partner with folks in very disparate movements whose goals interact with ours, as people who want to make AI as transparent as possible so that it can do as little harm as possible. Because the reality is, the folks who have the least amount of input into whether these algorithms are deployed are the folks who are most impacted by them. And so it's been really cool to advance my knowledge in the tech space alongside what I already know about social movements and the ways that they impact people and the ways that we can come together as collectives and collaboratively move us all closer to freedom. So it's been really cool. Damn, I'm a nerd.
Are we just now noticing that?
And sometimes I hear myself speak and I'm like, damn, bitch, you are a nerd.
So, he's so
tight. Whatever. And then something that y'all might actually be interested in, I am recording audiobooks for one of your faves. I can't drop the name now, but it's someone who's been on the show. And so eventually y'all will hear my voice recording Black Erotica, not just for the show, but like whole ass books, which is pretty cool. I'm excited about it.
Pretty fucking dope.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll be like a thing that just keeps happening. And eventually y'all won't be able to escape me. When you want to listen to Black Erotica, I'll be right there. So, yeah, that's what's next. A lot of shit.
Lots of shit.
Yeah. And naps. Naps.
Naps. Little kisses from God.
God, listen. I love my naps. They make me happy. I want to take a nap.
You're like wistfully staring off about naps.
Because I really want to take a nap, but I can't because I got to take this kid to get her hair braided. Before school starts.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
With that said.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Wait.
Oh.
Before we go. There's something that I was hoping you were going to say at the beginning of the episode that you didn't say.
Get your wine, weed, whatever you need.
Yes, ma'am. I feel like we can't have a final episode without you saying
it. Get your wine, your weed, and whatever you need.
That was a twofer. They got to hear you saying. And.
And.
I got it. Yes.
Oh. Okay. This is Erica and Killa. Your two favorite hoes. Make we will perpetually
we gotta make it clap. Oh, okay, yeah.
In the we will perpetually always be making it clap. Bitch, really.
Off this as always.
Off. So all right, y'all. This has been great. Love like for real. Love y'all.
Love y'all. Thank you for coming on this weird ass journey with us, for listening all the time, for downloading this fucking stuff, for sharing it on social media. For buying Black books, supporting these authors who are so dope. Like, don't let this show not being here keep y'all from going out and connecting with these authors and their books. Like, we try
and
to
buy
make
them
it
from
easy
from book, Black small bookstores.
Yes, please. Black bookstores, if at all possible. You can even get them online via Bookshop and have your money go directly to Black bookstores around the country.
Yep.
So do that. Please.
Okay, well, it's been real.
It has. Thank y'all. Thank you, Eve.
All right. Bitch. Thank you. Like, thank you. This has been great. Peace out.
Bye.